Good morning again. It's good to be here. Let's have a quick prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We trust in your word. And thank you, God, for the great commission that Jesus has given to his disciple and also to us. Help us to understand your word, not just to understand, but also to implement whatever Jesus is going to teach us today, Lord. From his word. Thank you. In Jesus' name we ask this prayer. Amen. This passage is a very significant passage in the Bible, known as the Great Commission of Jesus. Jesus gives this Great Commission just before he is ascending to heaven. And this is the final and the last commission that Jesus gives to his disciples before he ascended to heaven. And people's final say is very important, that therefore it should be taken with care. And this passage occurs right after Jesus' resurrection. And Jesus, the disciples have gathered in Galilee, and now Jesus is teaching them, Jesus is instructing them, commanding them, giving them the Great Commission. So throughout his life, he taught, he lived an exemplary life, he taught the disciples, and now, before he's ascending to heaven, Jesus is teaching them, giving them the Great Commission. And he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. This statement emphasizes Jesus' divine authority and power over all creation, empowering his disciples to carry out the mission. Verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him. When the disciples saw him, they worshipped him. I have a friend at Sabis. He's from Bangladesh. He's a very strong Muslim researcher. He knows the Bible more than some Christians. He knows the Bible pretty well. If you talk to him about the Bible, he knows what chapter, what verse. He even knows the commentary sometimes. But he's a Muslim. He's from Bangladesh. So one day I caught up with him for coffee and I started to share the gospel with him. And in our conversation, what he said was very interesting. He said, Suraj, can you please find me three words that Jesus says? Three words Jesus says, I am God. He never says, which is true. He never says, I am God. If Jesus doesn't say these three words, then why do you call him as God? Why do you worship him? But this verse is clear. When the disciples saw him, they worshipped him. The disciples knew Jesus pretty well. They had spent time with him, they walked with him and lived life with him. And the disciples were pretty sure that Jesus is the Messiah who is going to redeem the whole world from sin and death. And they knew Jesus is God. That's why they worshipped Jesus. And Jesus doesn't say, hang on guys, don't worship me, when the disciples were trying to worship him. He doesn't say, please don't worship me, it's only God who should be worshipped. He doesn't say that. He doesn't stop his disciples from worshipping him, because he knows he's God. Jesus is God and he deserves to be worshipped, and he should be worshipped. We all know the story of Jesus' birth. When Jesus was newly born, the wise man, what do you call, Magi, the wise man came and worshipped the newly born king. And here, Jesus' disciples are worshipping the newly risen king. And Jesus gives us a great commission. Jesus is giving the great commission. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. This is not a request. Jesus is not requesting, can you please go and do it? He's commanding us to go and do it. In command, there's obligation, there's compulsion. You need to do it. A command must be followed. And this command is, this commission is not just for his disciples. This is for every single person who calls Jesus Lord. This great commission is for everyone who believes Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If we believe this, Jesus is our Lord and Savior, then this command is for us. This great commission is for me as well. And the command must be followed. We must do it. Interestingly, Jesus doesn't say that, go and share the gospel. He doesn't say, go and share the gospel. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. He assumes that sharing the gospel is part of Christian life. That's our daily routine, daily life. It should come as a second nature. I don't have to think about it. It should come, it should flow out of my life. If I'm a believer of Jesus, if I believe Jesus as my Lord, then sharing the gospel, witnessing it should be part of my daily life. That's what Jesus assumes. That's why he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and sharing the gospel is easy. Go and share. But he says, no, actually, go and make the disciples of all nations, which requires commitment, discipline, and trusting in God completely. Maybe you have a neighbor that you haven't shared the gospel yet, but God is commanding us to go and share the gospel. Maybe you have your children's friends, parents that you catch up every week when they are playing football or soccer or rugby or whatever, and we haven't really shared the gospel, but God is commanding us, not requesting, but commanding us to go and share the gospel. Most Christians don't share the gospel because of the fear of rejection. But I want to encourage you, rejection is part of Christian life. Rejection is part of discipleship. I was kicked out, that's part of Christian life. I was rejected, that's part of Christian life. Jesus himself was rejected, he was despised, he was hated, and ultimately he was killed. And Jesus says that when you share the gospel, not if, but when you share the gospel, people are going to disagree with you. You are going to be despised. You are going to be persecuted. You are going to be hated. And you might be killed. I remember my grandmother was one of the earliest Christians in Nepal. When lots of CMS missionaries went to Nepal, Nepal was closed until 1950s around that time. And Nepal was open to other countries, and lots of CMS missionaries went to Nepal and shared the gospel, and lots of Nepalese became a Christian, and one of them was my grandmother. So my grandmother was one of the earliest Christians in Nepal, and I remember her story is horrible. She had to walk 3 hours just to get to the church, and they had to, you know, the big shawl they had to wrap around and put the Bible here, and wipe one Bible for the whole family. And she had to do that. And then I remember her, when they were caught, the police came one day and they arrested some of my grandmother's friends. And that time, and the police tortured them. You know what they would do? In between your nail and the flesh, they would put the needles and push them slowly and bleeding and for days. That was the punishment. But that's part of Christian life. If you choose to follow Jesus, sometime you have to be killed. But we shouldn't be scared. We shouldn't be afraid to share the gospel. Because this commission is not from a pastor, not from a bishop, not from our friends. This great commission we are given is from the great King of the world. That is so exciting. We are given this great commission by the King of the universe, by Lord himself. And the great commission is given to us. If we don't do it, then who does? If I don't do it, then who does? This is for me, and I have to do it. And one of the most important things here you can find in this passage is the presence of Jesus. Jesus says that I will be with you. Such a great relief. Actually, I'm not doing it on my own. Jesus is with me through his Holy Spirit. Jesus promises to be with us when we do this. And Jesus is never going to leave you. Jesus is never going to abandon us. Jesus not only gives us the great commission, but also promises to be with us. One of the meaning of the name God is also Emmanuel, which means God with us, Jesus with us. And it is a mission that we are, this is the mission of evangelism. God has given us this great commission, and evangelism should be done together. Evangelism is effective and efficient when we do as a team, when we do it together. And when I read this chapter, this passage, it reminds me of the partnership I have with Wellspring Anglican Church. Can you imagine every week, every Tuesday, around 35 to 40 non-Christians come and sit at this, on the same table, the chair, and they hear the gospel. And they are non-Christians from Muslim background, Hindu background, Buddhist background. That is so exciting. And evangelism, the work of evangelism should be done together. I cannot do this ministry on my own. And you cannot do this, you know, any ministry on your own. We need the partnership. We need the partnership in the gospel. Sabi's ministry suffers if I don't have partnership with you. Wellspring Anglican Church suffers if this church doesn't have partnership with other gospel workers. That's why we need the partnership. There's a beautiful saying, I think it's an African saying. I'm not exactly sure, but it goes something like this. If you want to go fast, go by yourself. But if you want to go far, go with the team. We as Christians, we want to go far. We want to go further and further, proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And it is better to go in a team. It's effective and powerful when we do partnership, when we do the work of evangelism in partnership. So today I want to encourage you to partner in the gospel, in the local mission and global mission. Partnership is one of the most important things in any church, in any ministry. So Jesus is commanding us to go and make disciples of all nations. He says all nations. All nations are actually coming to Tasmania. As I previously said that, there are lots and lots of people from all over the world, and they live just behind our house. They live in the same street as we do. Their children go to the same school that our children go to, and they work at the same place that we work. They are already here. But the question is, are we going? Are we sharing the gospel with them and making disciples of all nations? And that's what we do at Sabi's. People from every language, every culture, every nation, every ethnic group should come and worship the Lord Jesus. And one of the things we do at Sabi's is that we get them to read the Bible in their heart language. We all know the Bible was not written in English. We all know that. It was written in Hebrew, Greek, and some part in Aramaic. I want to ask you a question. How many of you here would have become a Christian if you did not have the Bible in English? Anyone? Let me put it this way. How many of you here would have learned Greek so that you could read the Bible in Greek so that you could become a Christian? Would you? Extremely impossible. English is my fourth language. It's hard. Learning the language is very hard. I don't think I would have become a Christian if I did not have the Bible in Nepali. Who cares reading English Bible? So what I'm saying is, when we give them the Bible in their heart language, that dispels the myth that they have, you know, Jesus is Western God or English speaking God, whatever they say. And also we can give them the message that God of the universe speaks my language. So that's what we do at Sabi's. We give them the Bible in their heart language. People from all nations need to hear the good news. They need to hear the news of hope. They need to hear the news of salvation. They need to hear the news of a savior so that they can be saved. And if we don't go and share the gospel, how can they hear? Because the commission is given to us. And if we don't go, if we don't step out and go and do it, then who does? This is for us. And I want to encourage you today that this is the Great Commission. We are privileged to be given this Great Commission. We should thank God for this Great Commission. And when we do it, remember, God is with you. God is with me. God is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. And we are all disciples of Jesus. And the Great Commission is given to us. Let's partner in the gospel. Let's do the work of evangelism. And let's share the gospel. And let's make the disciples of all nations here in Tasmania. Thank you. May God bless you.